Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our heavenly Father, and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes to his colleague in the ministry, Titus. We read from chapter 2. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. This is the word of our Lord. Congratulations on your 150 years of Christian ministry here in Hoyleton. And thank you for extending to me an invitation to come back home and to preach for you. When I was invited, I asked if there was a theme for the anniversary celebration, or if there was an emphasis that I was to focus upon. And I was told, well, the last one we did, we had women's ministry, so how about if we do men's ministry this time? And I said, I can do that. Men's ministry is a very important topic for the Christian church of today. For unfortunately, it is a very common view among men that Christianity is just for women and children. And we see the results of that view in the pews of many congregations across our country. And yet the eternal Son of God, born into human flesh, came as a male. He lived his life, his earthly life, and conducted his earthly mission as a man. Certainly, Jesus taught female followers, unlike most rabbis of his day. But when it came time to choosing leaders, he picked 12 men to be his apostles. Now, this is not discriminatory. Our Creator, though, knows us guys. And he knows that we sometimes need a slap in the face with a wet mop in order to catch our attention. Years ago, a study was done that showed the influence of fathers upon their children when it came to the Christian faith. Of families where both mother and father were faithful in worship, 75% of the children remained faithful as well. If it was the dad only who was faithful in worship, 55% of the children remained faithful. But if it was the mother only who was in worship with the children, only 15% of those children remained faithful in worship as adults. Too often we dads think that the only thing that we need to do, the only thing we're good for when it comes to our children, is to teach them how to fish, how to fight, and how to burp. But real godly men are active, and they take the lead in the Christian faith. They take that lead for themselves, they take that lead for their families, and they take that lead for their congregation. Well, how does this work here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton? I've got four areas of men's ministry that I want to focus upon. And the first is Christian leadership and service. You may note today in your orange insert, I think it was maybe the very last thing, 1995, when women became voters here in the Voters Assembly. So you had already addressed that issue a year or so before I came. But I know that whenever such thing happens, there's going to be some concern that the women will take over. and the men will no longer be involved. And if that is so, it's not the ladies' fault. They simply want to serve with the men, not take charge of the men. The problem happens is when the men step aside and abdicate their leadership responsibilities. And men will do so because, you know, they think they're just too busy with those things, you know, fishing and fighting and burping. But men still need to lead and to serve. As followers of our suffering servant, Jesus Christ, the one who lived, who died, and who rose for us and for our salvation, we learn that true leading is by serving. And in my time here, I witnessed that again and again and again among the men of the congregation. Whether it was working with the members of the Board of Elders, whether it was seeing all the work involved in the school addition and various other projects that were done, there was always someone who had the skill and someone who had the equipment to get the job done and get it done rightly. And from what I hear, that continues to happen here in this congregation. And I am so pleased, especially hearing that those boys that I had in confirmation 15 to 20 years ago are now stepping up and beginning to lead, and doing so by serving. The second area of men's ministry I want to focus upon is the men's club and its connection to the Lutheran Layman's League. There are not many congregations left that have a men's club. So congratulations on still having an active group of men. And I learned very early on in my time here of the dedication of these guys. Now, when we moved down here from Cottage Hills, Cindy asked the question, where is it that we're going? And I said, remember watching the television and the weather warnings from St. Louis and how this place called Washington County was always going to get hit by tornadoes? Yeah, that's where we're going to. And sure enough, it didn't take very long. The first spring that we were here, a tornado warning comes one evening. And so we dutifully take, at that time, three children, take them down into the parsonage basement. And here comes the wind, and here comes the rain, and there's the lightning and the thunder, and it just seems like it just goes on and on and on. Finally, the storm dies down. And just as things got calm, the phone rang. I picked up the phone. And I think it was Whiffy Caston on the other end. And he said, Pastor, are you coming over to men's club meeting? So I walk up the basement stairs, I look through the garage, and sure enough, the light was on in the school basement. A tornado warning wasn't enough to keep these guys away. I knew it was a dedicated bunch. Well, to offer an activity of interest and ability for all ages, we went back in time and we pulled out the dartball boards. Dartball, square board, you would hang from the ceiling, kind of in a diamond shape, and on that board there's all kinds of baseball stuff. There's strikes and balls and hits and walks and outs and all of that. And you take these darts and you throw the darts at the board and you play a baseball game that way. Yeah, we could get a little wild with it. And we found out that the darts, the tip of the darts, sent off sparks whenever they hit the concrete floor of the school basement before embedding themselves in the baseboard. If you go down there, take a close look, you'll probably see some holes. We got together, though, with other congregations, with Hoffman and New Minden and ourselves, and we'd have some competitions, and that even brought out the tiger in 92-year-old Paul Sockleben. Paul, when it came to dartball, threw those darts with gusto, and he wanted to win. Those who remember Paul know that he was known as Mr. LLL in the Southern Illinois district. And for decades, Paul went throughout our district promoting and raising support for this, the mission ministry of the Lutheran Layman's League and its broadcast of the Lutheran Hour. And I know that he got many of you involved in that in one way or another, so much so that this congregation, Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, through the LLL, was a very important source of bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Well, speaking of the Lutheran Layman's League, this brings me now to our third area, and that is Christian education. I once heard Reverend Ken Klaus, the former speaker of the Lutheran Hour, say that he gauges a congregation's health by the number of men who teach Sunday school. For there again, that often becomes one of those women and children things. So Christian education is another area of a congregation's life where the men of the congregation need to be active and lead. And I know that Trinity was blessed by very faithful Sunday school staff over the years. I realize Mildred Luking just passed away here not too long ago, right? 104 years old. And she could tell me every year that it rained on rally day. She had that kind of an institutional memory. But many of those dedicated Sunday school teachers here at Trinity over the years have been men. And in particular, boys, as they move into their teenage years, need to see men in Bible study as teachers as well as students. Now, us guys, though, I know we tend to hate instruction manuals. You get a new piece of equipment, you throw the manual away, and you work on it yourself. But the Bible is one instruction manual that we all need. Do you realize the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth? We need to read that instruction manual. And while I know that you had great confirmation instruction from your pastors of the past, as one of them, I can assure you that we didn't teach you everything, and you didn't learn everything that there is to know of the Christian faith in confirmation class. There's much more for us to learn. Under this topic, I am reminded of our men's Bible breakfast at Little Nashville. Couple of Wednesdays a month, there would be a carload of people from this congregation, men, who would drive to Little Nashville for breakfast and Bible study. And it was around the year 2000 that I was asked to take over that class. And so I said, well, what are you studying? They said, we're studying the book of Genesis. Very good. Where are you at in the book? They said chapter 19. You may not realize that chapter 19 in Genesis is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Thanks a lot for letting me start there. What a place to start. I say, okay, when do we leave? They said, well, we'll pick you up at 5:45 a.m. You mean 5:45 comes around twice a day? And so on cold, dark winter Wednesday mornings, I would drag myself out of bed, and I would stand at the front door of the parsonage, and I would wait for the headlights to come around the corner. And then there'd be four or five, maybe even six of us squashed into the car, and we'd head to Little Nashville. And we met up there with men from other local congregations, Nashville and Oakville and New Minden. And I really did enjoy that. Once I got out of bed, it was all right. But I really did enjoy that time with them. And it wasn't just because somebody paid for my breakfast, biscuits and gravy. But it was great. There were great questions and there were good discussion, and those guys certainly kept me on my toes when it came to Bible study. And over the time that I was with them, we finished Genesis, we went through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Just so happens, the very same books of the Bible we've been studying now on Wednesday evenings at St. John's in Redbud over the past few years. Well, the fourth area of men's ministry is one I've already touched on a little bit, and that's worship. But now I want to focus on one particular aspect of it, and that is the men's choir. Very few congregations anymore have a men's choir. So once again, congratulations on having one, and thank you to those men who take part in this aspect of your worship life. Now, back in the day I was here, Willard Gerst Kemper directed our men's choir. And men's choir was always an interesting dynamic. 3/4 time, 4-part harmony, and 1 page of music. Because any music that had a page turn was the kiss of death for the men's choir. And we had a little book, and the book had some, you know, old-time gospel favorites in it. But in this book, there were both sacred and secular songs from the past. And so just to tweak them a little bit, every year about the end of April, I would point at one particular one. I'd say, well, why don't we sing this one? And I found out that they drew the line at singing the old gray mare for Mother's Day. Now, the only point in the service where I could get up to the balcony, which I discovered this morning has gotten a lot steeper in the last 10 years, the only time I could get up to the balcony to sing with them was during the offering. And of course, when does the offering happen? Right after the sermon. So I'd get done with the sermon, and I'd head up to the balcony, and they would give me grief that I made them sing so soon after they had just woken up from their 15-minute nap. But the men of the men's choir were certainly flexible. You may remember that I tore my Achilles tendon in my left ankle, playing all-important church volleyball here. And so I was in a full leg cast and on crutches for a while. And they were willing to come down front and sing from the front so that I could still sing with them. And we sang at the Christmas concert, we went to nursing homes, we sang at Lions Club dinners, other special events, we made recordings, and it was a wonderful time. And I think we did pretty well for our little group because we were doing what Christian worship is, making a joyful noise unto the Lord for all that He has done for us. Well, from a small beginning of about 30 people, way back in 1867, this congregation has been proclaiming Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our salvation now for 150 years. And faithful men over those generations provided for and carried out that ministry. And they have done that and passed it on over time down to this very anniversary celebration. Now, as we move forward, it is time for this generation of men to lead by serving and to share Jesus as Lord and Savior through His Word and through His sacraments with those who will be this congregation's next generation of faithful men. In Jesus' name, amen.